This is Bulldogs by the Numbers, and we're going to discuss the Georgia Bulldogs versus Cincinnati. What kind of effort was given on the field? The huge plays that happened in the game, including targeting, a big field goal block, you get a strip sack, you get some deflections, you get the long field goal to win the game, Azeez Ojulari, and then just the offense in general, how the run game was very ineffective, and JT Daniels' performance overall. We'll discuss all that and more next on Bulldogs by the Numbers.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Welcome to Bulldogs by the Numbers. My name is Tug Cowart from 680 The Fan and Brent Rollins from UGASports.com as well as Pro Football Focus. I was at the game. It was the first game that I'd been to all season, but it was a weird vibe. You had seats that were zip-tied down, so you could only sit with groups of four people.
So how was the breakdown, like, in terms of UGA fans versus Cincinnati fans?
You know, I'd probably say 60-40 UGA. But, you know, Atlanta's got such a transient population. There's plenty of people from Ohio who live here in Atlanta.
One of the things that the Peach Bowl was like, hey, we're going to get, at least for me, a lot of people and a lot of Georgia fans because it's so close. But Cincinnati traveled well. They wanted to see their season end a little better than it actually did.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. But the only thing is, it was 15,000 people. That's it. That's all. It was like 15,300 maybe. It was a really, really small crowd. And I think tickets were hard to come by. So, you know, if it's a wide open stadium, then Georgia probably does have quite a bit more. And let me tell you, those Cincinnati fans thought they had beaten and upset the Bulldogs. They were talking trash. And I know that specifically because I was sitting with three of them.
And so who were these Cincinnati fans that you were sitting with?
So my buddy Colin Weedy's the sales manager here at 680 The Fan and a couple of his neighbors. And so interesting breakdown. He actually didn't go to Cincinnati, but his dad, his mom, and his wife all graduated from Cincinnati. And then a fan of UCF, which is also in the AAC, so he was pulling for Cincinnati, pulling for his conference, which I thought that was out of vogue, but apparently not. Strangely enough, he's a UCF fan. His son is a Florida Gators fan and was cheering against Georgia because he hates Georgia. He's a Florida fan.
It makes it interesting, at least.
It was.
And the little bit of cubby that you had to exist, it does make it interesting.
To have nine starters out of the game, you know, like five opt-outs and then four, you know, James Cook, his father had passed, so he didn't play.
Mm-hmm. And then there was hurt.
Three. Yeah, exactly. There's three injuries, I believe. So nine starters altogether. They don't want to hear that. Oh, yeah, of course. Georgia's got all this depth. They should beat us anyway, right? I'm like, well, look, you take nine starters out of any team, then it's going to be different.
Very much so. And you saw that. You saw the game. You saw the, you know, the offensive line kind of struggled throughout the game. We'll get into that, I think, a little bit later when we talk about the offense. But early, specifically early for Georgia, the secondary. You have almost an entire new secondary. You know, Sean and Smith had been playing, but Tyree Stevenson went from star to the outside corner. You had Latavius Brinney making his first ever start at star. A lot of new faces, and Desmond Ridder for Cincinnati took great advantage of it in the first half.
What did you pick on Bond as far as the effort, the vibe of the game? I saw a Georgia team that, you know, did they want to win? Of course. Are they going to celebrate when they win? Of course. But they have bigger aspirations than playing Cincinnati in the Peach Bowl.
Very much so. But what did we just see the previous, I think, night, right? The night before, the two nights before when Florida played Oklahoma. They definitely just played like a team that was ready to be done and didn't necessarily want to be there. We've talked about that earlier in the season, like against Missouri and even some of the other games. Once the Florida loss occurred, you didn't see sort of quit. You didn't see give up. You consistently saw effort and want to, and just a team camaraderie and a spirit, a culture that I think if you're a Georgia fan, something to be proud of and something that, you know, from a coaching staff standpoint that, hey, our coaching staff is always going to have our guys ready to play.
I agree with that to an extent, but I don't think I saw that as much until late third, early fourth, and through the fourth quarter. I don't think the first half.
I think that was just as much frustration, though.
Could have been.
But bounces were happening against them. You know, you'd had three straight games of offensive just explosion and a lot of points, a lot of yards. And there was a little bit of struggle and frustration in the middle part of that game where I texted a buddy literally 30 seconds before Aziz's strip sack. And I'm like, you just need one play. You need one big play somewhere to change the momentum. And once that happened, entirely the whole game changed.
You're exactly right. Well, let's go through a few of those big, big plays. You had the targeting one. Since you mentioned that, we'll go through that first.
James Hudson was Cincinnati's best offensive lineman coming into the season, highest graded, or coming into the game, highest graded offensive lineman, played left tackle, and was who Aziz Ojulari was going up against a lot within the game. When he gets that targeting right before the end of the half, and it was one of those plays where targeting on an O lineman, okay, that's not normal. But then you watch the replay, and he, you know, the play is over with, and he bends his head down and chucks it right into the Georgia defender. That became turning point for the game, for what it did for Aziz Ojulari, because the backup that they brought in, Lawrence, L-O-R-E-N-Z.
Is it number Mets, 52, maybe?
51, I 51, think, okay. What it was. 6'9", ginormous dude. He did not have a good day.
He had like four false starts, didn't he?
Yes, a lot of penalties. And Ojulari just absolutely torched him in the second half. And he was, I think, the second lowest graded player in the entire game. So that single penalty became a huge part of the game in the second half.
Let's go through another big play that happened for Georgia. And that was Jordan Davis getting a hand on the field goal where Cincinnati was about to go up 10-7.
At that point in time, you know, it's a big play in general. And I loved his celebration where he just sprinted off to the side. And, you know, pretty cool to see him celebrate. And he's a big dude who can move pretty quickly. But it's more of what happens at the end when the field goal wins it for you and you had prevented those 3 points there. So yeah, it was a big play just in the grand scheme of things.
No doubt about it. You got that one. Then you got the Tyreek Stevenson deflection. That's the one when he's going down. It is going to be a big play for Cincinnati. He just throws up his arms. It's the game, yeah. He throws up his arms.
It's the game.
And it deflects the ball, and you're like, oh my gosh, that dude was just acting on instinct by throwing up his arms.
Yes. So you had the Aziz strip sack that changed the complexion of the game. Georgia scores 2 plays later. Now it's a game. Now they're into it. But yeah, after all the back and forth, you get to 21-19, and you're 3rd-and-2. And by the way, Cincinnati just runs the ball right there, or tells the quarterback, make fake 3 throws and then run it. The ability of Georgia to get down and have enough time to kick the game-winning field goal is different. But Tyreek, that's just an unbelievable instinct play. He sees the quarterback's eyes. He sees the receiver wide open, comes off his coverage, and just sprints backwards, sees the receiver put up his hands.
Yeah.
And it's the play. It's at that point, obviously, the play of the game. Now, all of the clock and time management issues that led to that, in the totality of it, Georgia was unbelievably lucky to win this game.
Yeah, they were.
After taking a timeout, then punting, and then Cincinnati deciding to throw the ball in 3rd-and-2, which you see that more and more. You saw that last year with LSU where it's like, hey, game's on the line. We're not just going to run it, run clock, and give the ball back. We're going to go win it with our offense and win it with the ball.
Yeah, but prior to that, let's go back to the Aziz Ojulari strip sack, too, because I jumped ahead a little bit. Because he had, you know, obviously the safety at the end of the game with the sack, which was huge.
Mm-hmm.
But that strip sack, without that, I don't know you win the game.
Right, and that's the momentum part. And we had talked, you just needed one big play. There was a lull within that game. You know, you had the 4th-and-1 that Georgia missed, where they threw the ball to Kyrus in motion, quick little out route. They missed that. So, you know, they're fighting and trying to get some momentum. JT had on a first down play, by the way, scrambles and fumbles the ball when he's sort of near the red zone. So there's a lot of just things happening against them, preventing them from scoring. And then Aziz gets that, and then 2 plays later, you're in the end zone. Which, by the way, interesting enough, Zamir White's touchdown, the last running play of the game for Georgia. They did not run the ball again. They had 3 other possessions, did not run the ball again.
That shows you the mindset of Monken and Kirby Smart either allowing it or endorsing it.
Yes. You know, some of it is just the flow and the situation of the game. But yeah, they did not run the ball one more time.
Man, I tell you what.
That was interesting.
Yes, no doubt about it. I was looking back through my notes because I noticed that they used a boatload of 12 personnel. It went back to what we talked about in the last podcast. They were sending a message to Eric Gilbert. I think they continued to send that message with how many times they got the tight ends involved.
Darnell Washington now in the last 2 games, he's got 5 catches on 7 targets, 107 yards, 88.5 receiving grade. And the one over the middle that he caught and then broke some tackles and almost scored. That just shows you what a threat and weapon that he can be. And obviously, if things come to fruition in the other realm with the Gilbert thing, you know, that would be a big time matchup nightmare having the two of those on the same offense.
No doubt about it. But look, John Fitzpatrick got involved as well.
Yes, he did. When you have any offense now, I don't think, based upon the amount of talent they have offensively, you're not going to see, it's going to be hard to see someone like a Devontae Smith that has, you know, 100 catches. You know, what it would be nice is if you see five different guys with tons and tons of numbers and a diversity of offense that hopefully they get to in the next fall.
We're hoping so. Let's stick with the big plays and then finally get down. And we'll go back to Azeez Ojulari because he's got the sack for the safety at the end of the game. But it didn't come before old Hot Pod. He's got a rental nickname. He gets out there, kicks his career long. He puts Georgia up over Cincinnati by a point.
Clutch as clutch can be. I was looking up something over the weekend and stumbled upon and watched some of the LSU-Georgia game from a year ago.
Oh, man. Why would you do that to yourself?
I forget what I was doing. It was something I was looking at specifically. But, you know, Rodrigo missed a 50-yarder early in that game.
I remember it. We were that game, too.
Good. In the first quarter. So, you're thinking, you know, it's not like it's just a given. End of the game, game on the line. Like, when you look at the entire SEC, kickers were 18 of 32. That's 56% on 50-plus yard field goal attempts. It was a coin flip kick. It's not like the NFL where you, which, by the way, I think I even saw Rodrigo miss the 50-something yarder in the NFL yesterday. It's not an automatic thing. That was amazing. Yeah. He put it right down the middle, too.
I'm telling you. And it hit the camera guy.
Dude, he Belichicked and did his job.
That's exactly right.
Stayed with the ball the whole entirety of the time. But, yes. Supremely great kick, and just when you're asked to do those things and when you're putting those spots, come up big for your teammates, it goes a long way, and just everything in the morale and everything about that person being on the field, the confidence that they have.
So we'll end on big plays with Azeez Ojulari showing back up and really raising his NFL draft stock. I think he had great draft stock to begin with. That game actually elevated it even more. So you end the game on a safety that actually puts Georgia up over Cincinnati by a field goal, by 3 points. He was just in attack mode. You could see it. You knew it was coming almost.
Once the left tackle went out and once the backup came in, he just absolutely owned him. Even when they moved the line of scrimmage, they got the guy to jump off sides a bunch. Just in the second half, he had 11 pass rush snaps. So he had 3 sacks in the second half on just 11 pass rush snaps, including the strip sack. Like you said, he was firmly, and this is not a, you know, there's no Chase Young, there's no Miles Garrett this year from a draft perspective. You know, head and shoulders above everybody else on the edge as a pass rusher. He's put himself to be in that discussion as the number one edge defender off the board and be in that middle of the first round type world, depending upon team needs and what teams do. But he's now the highest graded edge defender in the Power Five. He had the second highest pass rush grade. When you look at his bend, his hand usage, all the things that you want to see out of that position, he's got it and he's improved. Unless there's some, you know, red flag type measurable or knee, because he obviously came off a knee injury as a freshman, but barring that, I think he's definitely solidified himself as a first-round pick.
I can't argue with that one at all. I don't think anybody can. He really did a bang-up job for the Georgia Bulldogs all season and ended on such a solid note. When we come back, we'll talk. Go ahead.
Especially when you've seen a lot of opt-outs and guys who are mid to high, even first-round type, that he came in and played and then lifted his team to victory.
So when we come back, we'll check on the offense altogether because that run game was really ineffective. And there's probably several reasons to that. We'll tell you what they are next on Bulldogs by the Numbers. My name is Tug Coward, along with Brent Rollins from Pro Football Focus and UGASports.com.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Georgia's offense, they didn't do exactly what we expected them to do against Cincinnati, but there may be a bunch of reasons behind that. This is Bulldogs by the Numbers. My name is Tug Cowart from The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM, and Brent Rollins from Pro Football Focus and UGASports.com. So the run game is as ineffective as I've maybe ever seen it against Cincinnati, against a Group of Five team.
Well, one, their defense is good. You have to give credit where credit is due. And they obviously, they don't run a traditional defense per se. They move a lot of pieces. They've great defensive coordinator. You know, I saw today where LSU's trying to lure him or interview him for their DC job. So, you know, he's going to be moving up in the ranks very quickly. Very good defensive coordinator. But independent of that, you had, just looking at the results, the run block grade, and this is a team run block grade. So that's on the edges, that's tight ends, that's other players. That's not just the offensive line. But the team run block grade was the lowest it's been in the last four seasons.
Hmm.
In any single game. What we all saw of just ineffective and not being able to do much of anything in the run game sort of bore itself out in the number as well. And then also just rushing yards, and we don't account for sacks as rushing yards. So he had 65 total rushing yards. He had 69 yards after contact. That's bad. That's really bad. Those numbers should not be that way. That basically means you're getting hit in the backfield and that everything that you're getting is the backs getting it on their own. Versus, yeah. You know, 50% of those yards being after contact, where half the yards you're getting are because the O-line has made big holes. It's just numbers that don't mesh. And obviously, like, even when you look at it, it goes to what you saw on 4th-and-1 when they ran which a great play design, great play call, but they weren't running the ball. They were throwing at the Kyrus Jackson on the edge. And then after Zamir White's touchdown, 3 possessions, and I think maybe 13 plays, you don't run the ball. You don't have to run the ball at all. You get goal to go on the drive that ended up giving you the field goal that put you within 2, and you don't, you know, the running game doesn't see it. Obviously, some confidence is one starter, Warren McClendon at right tackle, who was playing the position that he played the entirety of the season. Xavier Truss struggled at left tackle. It just wasn't there from a running game perspective.
Yeah, Ben Cleveland, a big piece, obviously. Missing a guy like
him. Your normal left guard is now right guard. You move in Jamari Sawyer, who played left tackle all year, into left guard. So, you know, an offensive line, as much as anything, is a cohesive 5-man unit, and it just wasn't on its game against Cincinnati.
Not only confidence issues, but that's where Georgia is trending as a team, much like every other team in college football.
I think so, and especially when you have a capable quarterback. In terms of this game, JT Daniels was obviously not what he's been the previous 3 games. He had a 53.4 passing grade, you know, obviously the lowest he's had this season. You know, he was only 3 of 8 on throws over 20 yards. He had, when you look coming into the game, he only had 2 turnover-worthy plays. He had 4 in this game. Remember, he had an interception that was taken away because of a penalty.
Right.
Fumbled. Now, I will say, the one was a little bit egregious, the one fumble that gets kind of credited to him, because I've never seen a fumble spiral out of bounds 20 yards. That was a bit odd. But still, yet there was another play where he's moving around the pocket, got hit, loses the ball. So he came sort of back down to earth. But when you look at the actual box score numbers, 392 yards, had a touchdown. George Pickens was his normal bowl game dominant self. And you know, I think you're going to continually see more and more of that. From him, especially when you look at his production over the last 4 games with Daniels. But yeah, it was a struggle on the offensive side of the ball in general. But I do think, as much as of anything with the offensive line, now you got the spring now, and then the fall practice. Go find your best 5, whoever that may be. It might be, you know, you might including Broderick Jones. It might include the new 5-star signee, Amarius Mims. Who knows what that 5-man unit's going to look like, and depending upon who goes pro, who stays. But go find your best 5. And once you settle that, you've got playmakers everywhere else. I'm assuming the quarterback comes back as well in that, because that's a big key, because next year is not like any normal year. You open with Clemson, a little different animal to open the season next season.
Which, I got to tell you, they got smacked around by Ohio State pretty good too. I was surprised by that.
There was a couple of things that were surprising. One, that Trevor Lawrence looked a little bit human in the game. The interesting thing about Clemson is their line of scrimmage game, especially on the offensive line, they've not recruited at the level that Georgia, Alabama, and some of the other SEC teams have on the offensive line and developed in that area. But how they've won is misdirection. They use the QB read game and QB run game. And then also just having great receivers on the outside. And with Justin Ross's injury this year, it kind of caught up to them in the playoffs, finally. That was the one game where, you know, it became a thing, because Ohio State just physically dominated them and absolutely gashed them. And they had youth on the defensive line as well, a lot of talent, but a lot of youth. So yeah, they just, it was a beatdown, and Justin Fields obviously had the game of his life.
Yeah, no doubt. And what a tough kid, man. Got to give him credit for being as tough as I've seen in college football, taking hits like he did and then getting back up and continuing and finishing the game. It was pretty darn impressive.
Did you see the comment after the game? Yeah, I just got a shot and sent me back out there. That was, I thought that was interesting, because as someone who, you know, in healthcare on the, in the normal daily basis, I was like, wait a second here. This kid may have had some internal injuries based on where he got hit.
Right.
Got to, please tell me you checked that out.
Yeah, before you just gave him a something to numb him up and get him back on the field.
Yes.
Yeah, no doubt.
But no, he played great. And I think they match up better with Alabama than Clemson would anyway.
All right. Well, look, I think it'll be a great game, no doubt about it. Quickly going back to JT Daniels, he got hit a whole lot in that game. And that, look, that probably led to a little bit of his lower grade than we've traditionally seen since he's taken over.
Yeah, it was the most he's been pressured in any game. And he didn't stop. And he didn't stop playing. You know, his eye level, like even in late drive when he was hitting the dump offs to Kenny McIntosh, or one that he hit to Fitzpatrick on a dump off right before he got hit. When your eye level stays up like that and you're still taking those hits as a quarterback, that's good things that you want to see. The toughness that he displayed, that's a win for Georgia in terms of what you know you have at the quarterback position, and the ability to, you know, stand in there and deliver the ball from the pocket. Because he's obviously, you know, he's got needs a whole offseason to truly rehab and get his knee healthy and get to where his athleticism can be back to normal. But, you know, he's a true pocket passer, and when you have that, someone like that, you've got to be able to, you know, every now and then take a hit.
Yeah, and he did. He didn't back down, so I'm proud of that. Last thought, I kept hearing people say, is JT Daniels coming back next year? I can't imagine him not.
No, I would put that chance at slim, very slim. One, the quarterback class that's coming out, it's a really good one. I've seen mock drafts, at least ones that we have on the website at PFF, where six quarterbacks are in the first round. And if you're not a first-round quarterback, it's of your benefit to come back, because you want that fifth year on the rookie contract. And for him, an offseason to heal, an offseason to really strengthen and get back to, and then also get a full season with the weapons that Georgia's going to have on the outside and in the backfield. And that is immeasurable to me, because you're going to play in an offense that suits you and is caters to you as a quarterback and is really quarterback friendly. And then now you have all the weapons that you have with Pickens and Burton, Rosemary Jackson, Dominic Blaylock, Arian Smith, who we saw can just run by literally anyone in the, like we saw in the bowl game. So it's of his benefit, I think, to be back and lead his team next fall.
I do believe you are correct, and I think that's what we'll see. This is Bulldogs by the Numbers. My name is Tug Coward, along with Brent Rollins from Pro Football Focus and UGASports.com.
All right. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win. When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
As we get ready to wrap up, you know, with the season obviously being behind us, we won't be doing a weekly podcast anymore, but we'll probably do one a month. I'm thinking maybe around the signing day, the traditional signing day.
Post-combine even we can do.
Yep, post-combine and post-draft.
Post-spring game.
There you go. So a couple times that you'll hear us here on Bulldogs by the Numbers as we move closer and closer to getting college football back on the field, because there's no season like college football season. Make sure you go and subscribe at UGASports.com, $99.95 a year. You get as much Bulldogs information as you want. It is all about the team. It is all about recruiting. It is all about the Bulldogs. And then at ProFootballFocus.com, you can buy those college grades for like $30 this year. The premium package, which is what, $129?
I think so, yeah. You get all a little bit of everything with that.
There you go. That's at PFF.com for Pro Football Focus.
the Southeast is Braves country. So for the latest on the Atlanta Braves, subscribe to the Braves Clubhouse Report, dropping every Wednesday afternoon with Kevin McAlpin and the voice of the Braves, Ben Ingram.
The Atlanta Braves are once again champions of the National League East.
And for even more Braves, you can also subscribe to KMAC's weekly Braves podcast and be on top of the latest Braves news before anyone else. Subscribe to the Braves Clubhouse Report and Braves Weekly wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.